Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dark Intentions by Eliza Mann, narrated by Allison Johnson. Prologue. 3 years ago. Layla nearly slid down her stool, not even attempting to stifle her giggles.
Girl, stop it! Please, I can't take much more!
It was the playful, good type of laughter. Not the kind that meant they'd bare fangs and fillet one another, a hallmark of vampire interactions. I told you already. Plates clinked together and blended with instrumental hip-hop set to low, accented with the buzzing voices of nearby guests. It was another filled-to-the-rafters Saturday night at Melody, one of Layla's clubs located in Harmony Park near downtown Detroit.
You did,
Layla said, taking a sip of a drink called a Jack Handle, presumably due to the after-effects on humans who were unlucky enough to order too many. A bout of laughter overtook her once more, and she held on to the counter while struggling to breathe. Even if it took a few moments to regain her composure, Layla continued, undeterred by Farrah's sour expression.
I just want to hear it again. At least show me his profile pic.
Farrah struggled to disguise her wince. Why? She stalled. After years of being Layla's companion, her maker's M.O. wasn't a secret. She would dismiss any emotional attachment to a human. Then she would ride Farrah even worse for her momentary lapse of judgment. Sitting in the nouveau chic environment, against a backdrop of high-octane lacquer furnishings, LED lights, and gorgeous males, there was no way Layla would get why Farrah was upset over one excruciatingly ordinary human.
Show me! Because if you don't, it means you knew he wasn't worth your time in the first place.
Reluctantly, begrudgingly, Farrah pulled her iPhone from inside her denim jacket and opened the dating profile on SendMeAMatch.com's app. Once the frustration over his rejection was all gone, he didn't look as intriguing as he had before. Now, sitting there being forced to show him somehow illuminated every bit of his fallibility.
Here.
Layla took the phone and held it out a full arm's length from her, as if she expected it to stink of the human.
Wow, man,
she whispered, surveying his girth, his thinning hair, his underperforming jawline.
To think you would have brought this mess home, and that sweater, she said, twisting the phone to the side as if to get a better perspective. So tight. Is that what humans call onesies?
He's not so bad. Farrah took the phone out of Layla's casket-shaped nails, slipped it back into her pocket, and returned to her drink.
Of course, it wasn't supposed to be forever. It's just something to do. Something I needed to do. He may not have been hot, like at all, but he was someone I thought would see past the superficial.
She lied. The real truth was, if she dated this mediocre human, she would at least be able to feel better about herself. Covering for her deficits up close and in person was a lot harder than holding her mask in place around the others. She hadn't even been doing a wonderful job of it. Farrah knew they could smell her weaknesses, and that was something she hadn't wanted to deal with in her bedroom and in affairs of the heart. It would have been easier if there weren't so many prejudices within the supernatural races, not to mention how scattered all the immortals were. Most of that was due to the prehistoric beliefs of the Order of Immortals. They didn't allow any new inductions into covens or any pack, horde, or clan like in the old days. Though these rules appeared arbitrary, the meaning was clear. There was to be no intermarrying, no building of factions, no crossing the invisible lines that separated the races. Then there were the logistics of it all. Vampires suffered when blood mated to other vampires. When mated, their powers, energy, and strength became shared resources. This was less of a problem centuries ago, when being separated from your mate was less likely, and traveling in packs was more common. This balance of power had enhanced the dominance of the clan. One would think evolution would have done away with such a thing, but it hadn't. Without a unified show of force, having half your power shared with some fuckboy could be problematic. That was the thing. Vampires should have been anxious to mate. But without the barbaric needs of the old days, the draw of mating was gone. It was almost as if love were forbidden, even if it wasn't. Then there was Farrah herself.
Where most vampires did a wonderful job of living up to the make-believe lore, she was not one of them. She struggled with turning off the part of her that was human. While most developed a thicker skin from the moment they were turned, they didn't bother with the constraints of human culture, like marriage and monogamy. But Farron knew there was a mate out there for her. There was actually some internal drive that commanded her to find him, the one, whoever the hell that was, as if she were cursed. And just in the way of most curses, there were no directions that came with the son of a bitch, only the will and drive. Sure, she had the will, but the drive, not so much. She actually felt as if she were being driven insane. It was like a venomous bite slinking its way through her body. I can't imagine what you see in humans. Even with sex, they are no real match for us. Layla childishly made a hole with one hand and stuck her finger through it. On their best day. Clearly not this dude. But some of them might come close. I can even name a few. Apparently Hollywood is where you need to find them. She straightened herself on the stool. Even if you happen to find one that contradicts all those things, their lifespan is too short. A human will never satisfy you like another vampire. This is easy math that doesn't add up. I know you're smarter than that, girl. Farrah knew her dearest friend and maker was probably right, as usual. Okay, she was mostly right. She just wasn't so sure being with a vampire would end her troubles. Hell, it hadn't so far. Whatever it was, activism or preservation, with the vampire race in the minority, exploring other options probably wasn't a bad idea. Still, a part of her knew humans were not it, and most vampires made her slightly ill at the thought. All valid points, Layla. I'm just wondering what else is out there. And the last time I dated a vampire, he was an absolute asshole, like for real. He always practically drained our host before offering me a vein, and he would go to bed without worrying about what I'd do to protect myself for the day. Hell, if I were being crisped in the sun, it wouldn't have made a bit of difference to him. You remember that, right? Farrah huffed, running her fingers through errant tufts of hair to smooth the wild curls from her face. She'd forgotten her clip, and try as she might, she never achieved the Beyoncé look. She ventured more in the neighborhood of Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction, right around the time she was being stabbed in the shower, or perhaps when she was on that roller coaster with the kid. But what did it matter? Anyone who sat next to Layla would pale in comparison.
Yes, but at least he understood your plight and where you were coming from. Try getting a human to understand why you're not able to luxuriate on the beach all summer. And to make matters worse, your last fang-bang was 2 decades ago. You might have been too young for him then. I've got an idea, though.
Layla tapped her fingernails on the black marble bar top. Farrah took another drink, rolled her eyes, and motioned to the bartender to bring them another round. Mike the bartender was interesting and exactly the type of human Layla would approve of for one of their fun nights. His joggers were slung low around his waist, and Farrah was willing to bet the last pint of blood in the world he wasn't wearing BVDs, since his manhood jostled freely as he sauntered, swaggered up to the bar. He worked at Melody on Saturday nights, and while Farrah had never made a move on him, human that he was, they'd connected. Maybe it was purely due to him making the best drinks in the world, and that was on some spiritual shit. Despite all that, she didn't want to sleep with him and mess up her nightly visits to the only vampire bar in her neighborhood. Some risks just weren't worth it. Turning back to Layla, Farrah leveled her with her best skeptical glance.
What's your idea this time? I end up doing the craziest shit with you, like when we went to meet the Australians.
Layla choked on her drink laughing, her aquamarine eyes lit with amusement.
That was 3 decades ago, and as I recall, I had to kick the one you hooked up with out of our flat in London.
Momentary lapse in judgment or whatever. What's this idea of yours? With a wave of her hand, Farrah hurried the big idea along, and more importantly, away from the touchy ancient hookup discussion. Layla took a sip of her drink first, indicating it was definitely going to be a whopper.
So, There's a coven of sorts in northern Canada that has nothing but men who've taken a vow of, hell no. You didn't even let me get it out. I don't want to. Why would I want to travel to northern Canada to try to get someone to change their mind about sex or dating or being a vampire for all I know when they've taken a vow against whatever? Because it's fun. It's not fun. In fact, that's the last thing I would call it. It's trying to alter someone's line of thinking when they've made a firm decision about who they want to be. They moved to northern Canada. I'm assuming you aren't talking about Toronto. I need to help you brush up on your geography. Ignoring the jab was probably Farrah's best option. I just think... Scratch that. I know there are other vampires out there who are like me. Maybe they want to date a non-vampire, too. Okay, so maybe not human. What about wares and shifters? How about dreamwalkers? Leprechauns? What if we're all just too chicken shit to try for love outside of what we know? Or maybe we're all too smart for it. Look where it gets most humans. They end up splitting up property, hating one another, and divvying up kids like their assets. Layla shook her head. Maybe you're right, but maybe not. I just believe somehow... Leprechauns need love, too. There's gotta be someone who has a tall, dark, and green fetish among us. I think it should be okay to date and be with whom... whatever you want to be with. That's when Layla fully turned to face Farrah, her stilettos hooked into the metal footrest and hands on her hips. Farrah, I think your idealism is admirable for a human, which you aren't. There were days when Farrah thought her friend had selective hearing. And look at where that kind of thinking has gotten me. We can do something about it. Turning the frosty glass between her fingers, she spared Layla a glance once again. Determination speared Farrah in the gut as she met Layla's skeptical glare head on. We? You? Me? The dark web? We're gonna do some shit. And this isn't out of the blue either. I found a personality profile to guide matches. It's human psychology based, but how different could it be? A lot. It's probably like a whole lot different. Layla's voice squeaked as she sipped her drink. So? So what? It's worth a try. Because right now, all we have are devices humans use. Like you said, they can't take our needs into consideration. Layla's lid suddenly lowered, eyes near slits as she leaned in closer. And you don't think the Order will have some concern over all this commingling? Her brows nearly touched with concern. Now who's talking like a human? I'm just trying to get you to see this is a terrible idea. You'll end up with your heart in a sling, mark my words. You think that. You haven't even tried it, ever. You don't know what I've tried, Layla snapped. For a moment, she stared down at the bar at unmoving hands. It took her a moment before she started again. The paramount issue is, it's best if we stick to our own kind. Love is love, Layla. Farrah took another sip of her drink, trying hard not to let on that she'd stolen that from a human protest sign on a nightly news program. You just want to get laid, Layla retorted, her snort as condescending as it was audible. The noise in the bar around them grew louder, a sure sign it would be a night filled with mayhem and rabble-rousing. Humans had always perked up around the weekends. Not much had changed since the 80s when Farrah had been turned. The lighting went from dim to near darkness, and the music growing louder marked the evening hour of 11, a time when the connections between the patrons went from business and platonic to lusty and sexual. I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge this one point in the argument, but think about it. We've only ever been with vampires. What if someone else out there can truly make us happy? Speak for yourself, boo. I, for one, do not limit myself. I'm not closed-minded. I just don't want to end up on the Order's most wanted list. Farrah looked at her friend, her maker. She knew her expression to be one of concern. They must be bored these days. She hadn't seen the Order enforce any of the old accords lately.
All they seemed to do was collect taxes, a supernatural IRS. Still, the rumors of what they'd done to people in the past were petrifying. The thought of being flayed sent a shiver up Vera's spine, but did nothing to deter her.
They could be. It's plausible.
Layla turned on her stool toward the bar and grabbed her cocktail, tipping the glass up and draining the last sip into her mouth.
Fine, chick. What ifs?
Vera picked up her fresh drink and sputtered. That was definitely stronger than the others. Back as a human on a night like tonight, she would have been on her way to being shit-faced. Undoubtedly, Mike was trying to get her there in the hopes of getting her to his place. That was all he wanted, like most males. She could see it in his eyes, not to mention the pheromones he was throwing off. Pheromones were like a beacon to vampires, with their heightened sense of smell. Silence expanded between them for a few seconds. While she didn't know what was on Layla's mind, she was thinking of her plan to open a matchmaking agency. But what would she call it? Before she could come up with a name, Mike's fine ass brought their third round of drinks. Farrah downed the second and moved on to the next. Alcohol was one of the few substances on Earth that had similar effects on humans as it did vampires, although it took them a lot longer to get blitz than it did the humans. Well, except Farrah, that was. Though she was much more resistant to alcohol than she had been as a human, she thought she got a little bit more intoxicated than others. Before leaving, Mike flashed a kilowatt, fang-free smile. There were humans in the dining areas until after 2 a.m. each night, so vamps had to maintain their best behavior until the blood donors were gone. No one wanted the order breathing down their necks, so most complied with the laws.
Thank you, honey. You are just as sweet as pie, she said to Mike, adding a gentle nod of her head.
You're welcome.
He allowed his fingers to linger on her hands a few seconds longer than necessary when he passed the drink to her. No doubt about it, he was as hot as fish grease, but still, hands off. Layla liked him. She'd probably never claim him, but something in her eyes told her secrets. She did like him, and he was sure as hell hot enough, even if she wouldn't admit it.
So, Layla said, you ready to eat? Are we hunting tonight, or just going out back for one of the feeders?
Ugh, Farrah said, not reining in her level of dissatisfaction even a little bit.
I hate the feeders. Their veins are always unstable. There's nothing like feeding from an untapped vein, you know what I mean? I'd rather get a bag from the fridge and turn on the Hallmark Channel. Lame, but yeah, I do. So, it sounds like we're hunting. How about we go see Make a Match Dude?
It's Send Me a Match.
Whatevs. Matchmaker, matchmaker, send me whoever the hell. Let's go over there.
No, and fucking no. He doesn't deserve the ecstasy of a bite. Farrah scrunched her face and made a gagging sound to punctuate her disdain.
What you should have done was charm that ass last night. Sure, he wouldn't have remembered a damn thing this morning, but at least you wouldn't have gotten dumped.
I can't even with you. I thought we were going to date for a while. Isn't it wrong to feed off him with friends?
I don't want the karma behind something like that, Farrah said on a sigh. He left you sitting alone in a restaurant while he picked up some chick and left with her. Mind you, leaving you with the chick.
I know, but we weren't exactly hitting it off in person. I'm kind of glad it didn't go any further. I would have had to wipe his memory and all that. A few orgasms, if I was lucky, isn't worth that.
You aren't sleeping with the right people, my friend. Come on, let's go. His veins are untapped. He'll be as fresh as a daisy or some other human bullcrap.
Layla was smiling again. By now, Farrah should have known a smile like that was not the blood bag and Hallmark kind.
Girl, you are thirsty as hell. I'm not going to show up at this dude's house with a friend in tow, random as fuck. Do you know what he'll think?
Farrah wondered why she should even care what he thought. They would wipe his memory clean of any doubt, so why would it matter? Because he'd wounded her. She didn't want to give him even a moment of satisfaction, whether he remembered or not.
No. I don't give a care if he won't remember it. It's too good for him.
All right. So we go in through the window on some old Bram Stoker shit? No. Really, I'll pass on that, Farrah started with a shake of her head, knowing full well giving in was only seconds behind that no. Yes, fine. We'll get over there. I'll knock on the door all like, yes, I brought my friend by, and we just want to talk to you for a second, okay? Fluttering her lashes, Farrah pouted and licked her lips, feigning hunger. Layla ran elegant fingers over her chin. Yes and yes. So this is technically not hunting, though, but it'll feel like it. She rolled her eyes. Come on, let's go. He lives all the way downriver. Driving or flying? Driving. I have my Benz outside, Farrah said. I like that car.
Yeah, me too.
Pay the man. It's almost midnight. I'm fucking starving. I was so distraught I didn't eat anything at sundown. Not even a snack? What is wrong with you? You could have jumped one of these humans. Don't do that, sis. Do better. I don't need your judgment right now. Let's just go. With a pop on Layla's shoulder, Farrah slid from the stool and waited. Layla smiled in victory as she lay cash on the counter for Mike. Despite owning the joint, she took exceptionally good care of her waitstaff. All right, let's go make this asshole's night. It'll be the best time he's ever forgotten. Farrah didn't bother commenting. Instead, she led her way to her car, a black Benz S-Class. It was probably the only fashionable thing she owned. As she slid into the car and plugged Stan's address into her phone, the perfect name for her new business popped into her mind. Vampire Matchmaking Agency. Sure, it was simple, but weren't the best things in life? Chapter 1. Sure, Farrah had found hundreds of mates for others in the 3 years since VMA had been open, but what about her own love life? Looking out over the life she'd created, it was nothing like what she'd envisioned over the years, but at least she was doing something to help out the community. The entrance bell rang on the Vintage Modernism Authority, the antique furniture store serving as body double for Vampire Matchmaking Agency. The name was terrible, something Layla noted frequently, but the moniker served its purpose. There were two distinct phone lines. If humans happened to be in the store, at least Farrah would know which to safely answer. Fortunately, humans rarely came in since the pieces in the shop were a bit overpriced for the area. Win-win. The patron, a well-dressed female, looked like a supermodel with her ice-blue tendrils flowing down her back and her hourglass figure. Her dark skin was smooth, unmarred. Overdone makeup masked delicate features. Fae. She was who humans believed to be woodland creatures who spread glitter from the highlands to the Americas and granted gifts. In reality, Fae were much more complicated and dangerous than that. Like most human knowledge of lore, human understanding of the Fae was skewed. From the looks of her, this wasn't just some rando fairy. Nope. This was High Fae. Normally they cloaked themselves, but since she hadn't, she probably knew VMA would be a safe space. The interesting thing was, why on earth would someone like this, obvious royalty, need a matchmaker? Instead of walking to the counter where Farrah waited, she stopped, clutching a small iridescent purse with both hands. It was impossible to miss that her eyes and cheeks were dusted in the same brilliantly multifaceted hue as her handbag. Hi there! Farrah stepped from behind the counter, fighting the urge to wipe her hands on her jeans to keep from sullying the pristine creature before her. Extending her hand, she waited as the stunning, surely princess, if not queen, glanced down and hesitated, as if she didn't know whether to accept the gesture or not. Finally, she grasped Farrah's hand and awkwardly smiled.
Hello there, she said, her voice wispy and light. My name is Era of Clan Seelie. I probably should have called ahead, but I'm interested in your services.
Typical of what Farrah had heard of the Fae, even her accent was over the top. Her demeanor, though, it almost seemed understated in comparison to the makeup, the jewelry. All of it was over the top, but not her person.
This era seemed as if she were trying on someone else's body to see if it fit.
Sheesh, she smelled like cotton candy and happiness.
Don't be silly. Our doors are always open. Well, except when they're closed during the day.
Wow, Farah, lame much?
Releasing the hand she'd been holding for too long, she motioned over to the table in the sitting area she reserved for clients. A 17th-century French, Golden Age table, chaise and settee, along with some ornate high-back chairs of unknown origin she'd procured from Layla's storage, filled the space. All she knew was they looked rich and elegant.
Would you like to have a seat, and we can discuss what you're looking for in a mate?
Yes, thank you.
Ada walked over to the chair, and no matter how nice the area was, she made it look a million times better. Her white pantsuit was wide-legged, the voluminous fabric spilling over the seat like the most elegant of ball gowns. Farah's original thought of Era echoed in her mind once again. There is no way this chick needs help finding a mate. Following her, Farah took the seat opposite Era and opened the stationary laptop to start a new profile.
You're welcome. So, we can start with you telling me a bit about yourself.
Once the profile was opened to the notes tab, Farah sat forward in her chair and offered a smile. One thing she knew, no matter who the client was, getting them to open up about who they were was the hardest part of the whole transaction.
I am the daughter of Tharik, king of Clan Seelie. He has dominion and is the laird for all fey creatures, even the Unseelie, though they rebuke him.
Farah tried hard to suppress her joy at being right. It wasn't that difficult, considering a part of her was nervous about whether this fae was really there just to spy on her and VMA.
Are you a member of the Order, Era?
Shit, she should have asked her that before. Given everything she knew about the fae, they were her least likely clients.
Oh no, I am not. My father holds the fae seat. I will be, though, if anything were to happen to him.
The only thing that could happen to him would be a lead stake in his heart, which was about as likely as a pig flying.
I do not follow the Order's antiquated philosophies.
If there was one thing Farah was good at, it was reading folks.
I see. So, for the most part, your shit with following rules is the primary reason you're struggling to find a mate? I can imagine the implications of all that are challenging.
She almost wanted to offer her hand in support. But despite how nice Era was, she didn't seem like a hugger. Era sat back in her seat, allowing her pristine posture to droop, as if the winds were coming out of her sails a bit.
Yes, it's all so difficult to navigate. You see, it is tradition to marry a warrior who is chosen by your father.
While Era was staring directly at Farah, her eyes seemed to travel miles away.
And you don't want that? I don't know whether I want to mate this male or not. All I know is it doesn't feel right, if I've never known another. What I mean to say is, I've never known another intimately. I mean, I'm still young. I'm only 200 years old.
Era was turning out to be as sweet as she was gorgeous, and was a departure from most things Farah thought she knew of their kind.
I understand, and I think we can help you with that. I can share some profiles of males with you today.
I should add, Era said, cutting Farah off. I would like to limit my search to, what should I call them, civilians?
The request shocked Farah. Wasn't everyone civilians?
Probably not civilians. Maybe just males or females. You also don't have to worry about the Order. We don't service them here. In fact, we try hard to stay off their radar altogether.
Farah studied Era's face to see if she had a tell. Farah wished she could read minds instead of just change them telepathically. The skill would have been useful in cases where she didn't know what to think. Era's kind were supposed to be vapid killers, treacherous and cunning. She didn't appear to be any of those things.
I guess, I'm still figuring all that out. You see, the Fae don't have to worry about such things in our race, since we can be whatever we want for periods of time, male or female.
Farah's brows popped. That was definitely new info. Since Arrow was VMA's first fake client, she added it to her...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?